20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Peretz, joined as always by Sarah Kelleher. No Dusty Evely, still out on vacation, and actually, I believe, out on the IR with COVID. So hopefully he's hanging in there. Got a message from him earlier saying he's doing a little bit better. But Dusty, if you're listening, we're hoping you're feeling better. But Sarah, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. We're here. Packers OTA is happening again. Dusty, we miss you. Hope you get better soon. Can't wait till you're back. But yeah, we at least have some stuff to talk about. I was a little worried, just like last week when I woke up on Tuesday, what are we going to talk about? And then things fell into our lap once again. So Steve and I will do our best to break it down. We don't have Dusty's incredible offensive mind, but we do have some good jokes. So hopefully that gets you through your Wednesday.
Yeah, we will just try to carry on without Dusty. He should be back next week and get some hopefully some more content for you guys. But in the meantime, yeah, we'll talk about OTAs and, you know, a certain quarterback showed up today and it was amazing. And but what we're going to do is just kind of take some of the news and notes that we saw throughout the day, jump back and forth between the two of us and get some reaction. So, well, I'm going to start the first thing. Before practice even started was Matt LaFleur told the press that everyone who is signed to the roster is here. So I don't know. I didn't catch quite the rest of the quote or anything, but it seemed like a little bit of a, hey, Alan Lazard, where are you at, my man?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I know Alan Lazard is still waiting to sign a contract. So technically he still doesn't have to be at these mandatory practices yet, but it might be a little nudge like, hey, Alan, and Allen's agent, let's get this done because we'd love to see you back out on the field, especially since the wide receiver room is looking a little shaky.
I mean, I don't know. Christian Watson looked good. Sammy Watkins was there. They don't need Alan Lazard. It's okay. I kid.
Another very interesting note from OTAs on Tuesday was that Aaron Rodgers apparently just walked up, greeted Brian Gutekunst with a handshake, couple pats on the back. They shared some laughs together, all smiles. So, you know, Matt Schneidman from The Athletic tweeted this out and said, if you want play-by-play at minicamp, I'll give you play-by-play. Here's what's happening. They're hugging. They're embracing. So bad day for the haters. Really bad day for the haters, for Mike Florio, who I'm sure was just sickened by this news. But I thought it was great. Cool. Keep the relationship strong. And if 12 is happy, then the whole team's probably going to be happy and I'm happy too.
Yeah. I can't really argue with anything there. I mean, it's one of those things that it's the off season. So they're definitely going to look for any type of story that can be concocted. And I mean, right now there's no story for between Aaron Rodgers, the front office, all looks well on that front. And so there's no drama, which I think is a really good thing. So, hey, I'm all for them getting along with each other, and I'm all for the play-by-play for mini camp. That's always fun. So, and entertaining. So thank you to Matt and all the people there. Did you have a guess at the first song that was played, Sarah?
I did not have a guess, but knowing that Aaron Rodgers is back, to no surprise, it was some old school.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of Foo Fighters, Pretender was on first. So it was kind of, everybody just was making the joke that, hey, we all know Aaron Rodgers is back because they're actually playing Foo Fighters and not some like new rap or something along those lines. So
I love the idea of Rodgers looking at the, you know, the Spotify playlist or whatever they use and saying, no, I got to add some of my own tunes in there and just kind of pre-approving that list. I could see him, you know, in his apartment, like he lives in an apartment. I could see him in his big house with that fireplace that's always in the background. And he's got a little bit of scotch and he has the laptop up and he's organizing the playlist, picking his favorite tunes in it. So, hey, if that's what keeps him happy, that's pretty simple. So let's just keep doing it.
Do you think he makes like a mixed CD, like old school? Did you even make mixed CDs?
I did. I actually did. I think I was the last generation, but I did have mixed CDs. My dad taught me how to do that because I would always want to listen to music in my parents' car. And they said, well, if you want to listen to your music, then you have to burn your own CDs and make your CDs, because we're not going to play your horrible pop, you know, Hannah Montana and all that in the car. So I did learn how to do that.
Very cool.
Some mini camp news that's not related to the Packers, but it did break in the middle, and a lot of people want this to be related to the Packers, so it was all over my timeline, is that Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf was not present for their mini camp. Obviously, he's in negotiations with the team about contract extension, all of that. A lot of people think that Green Bay would be a good destination for him. He was hurt last season, so he's rehabbing his injury in LA and has not reported to Seattle for their camp. If there's more to that, you know, do with that as you will. I don't really think so. I think that he's probably just rehabbing. He's in contract negotiations, and that then they'll eventually work it out. Would it be totally awesome if he was a Packer? Sure, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't foresee anything happening there. I'm sure they want to get him locked down to a big contract. I mean, you don't let a guy like that walk, especially right after his first deal. If it was maybe after his second deal, okay, I get it a little bit more. But young rising talent like that, you want to have somebody really, really good that can just go deep for your lackluster quarterbacks that you have on the roster for the Seattle Seahawks. So it would not shock me if he gets that locked up and is not traded at all. Big news from Aaron Rodgers. He had a couple of comments that we'll talk about here and there, but he was asked if he would finish his career in Green Bay, and he said, yes, definitely.
Woo!
To which then followed up, I saw all the tweets like, well, why is Jordan Love on the roster still? Like, oh, my God. Like, he literally
people
just
can never be happy. They can never be happy. Aaron Rodgers just said he wants to retire as a Packer, and people are still complaining. That is so ridiculous to me. And I get it. I know I saw some people, too, say, well, Favre said the same thing. Well, I think that Rodgers has proven that his situation is a bit different. If he was like Favre, he would have left and already been on the Vikings by now. God knows they love taking Packers players anyways. They would have hopped on the opportunity. But I'm pumped about that. Verbal confirmation, that wasn't something he was saying last season when people were questioning him about his future. So the fact that he upfront already said this now in June 7th, when we're recording it, I love it. More tidbits from Aaron Rodgers, since he also spoke to media for about 20 minutes after the minicamp practice today. So he was asked if he was, you know, taken aback when Davante Adams told him he wanted to leave the Packers. And Rodgers really basically defended the Packers in that situation. I think a lot of people thought that he might, based on his history with the team and the previous relationships and some of the obstacles that he's had there, thought he'd side with Davante. But Ryan Wood posted his full quote, and it's a really good one, so I'm going to just read it. So Rodgers said, we, referring to he and Davante, had some really honest conversations about my future here, how long I wanted to play, and his own thoughts about his future and where he wanted to play, live, and raise his family. The team obviously stepped up and made a competitive or even more compelling offer. Ultimately, Davante thought it was best for him and his family to be in Vegas, so that was tough for sure. But I love Tay, and I love our connection. I'm a little biased, but it's hard to think of a better player I played with. He had a chance to be the all-time record in a lot of categories at receiver for us. I thought that might be a little nugget that would keep him here. But Tay made a decision that he thought was in the best decision, that he thought was in the best decision for him and his family, and I can't fault him for that at all. So really good stuff from Rodgers there. Kind of what we talked about with Davante. It sucks. You loved him. You want him to stay. He, like Rodgers said, was going to be probably the best, if not already the best, to play that position and be on the Packers. And sucks to see him go. But if he thought that was the decision that was best for him and his family, you can't really blame him.
Yep. I mean, honestly, there's not a whole lot more to add to that. It's just when he does speak and he's not being a smartass, like, he's very eloquent and he's like, he speaks his mind. And like, that was a perfect example of him doing that. So really don't want to add in too much more to that. We'll jump though to what he said next about the newer wide receiver they just brought on, Sammy Watkins, and Rodgers' quote on that one. I was 100% on board with that. I think it's important you get guys who have a lot to play for, and I think Sammy has the opportunity to continue and travel down a new path in his career. I love the disposition. I really enjoy the person. So, Sarah, what are you thinking? You think this is a match made in heaven already?
Sure. If Aaron Rodgers thinks it is, then I think it is too. No, I mean, my real answer is I'm glad that Rodgers is optimistic about it, because we know how much confidence in his receivers means to him and how that goes a really long way, especially in critical moments in the season. So if he feels like he has a guy that maybe on a big third down play or, you know, 2-minute drill that he can go to and that he can trust to catch the ball, get a first down, you know, make a big play, take the lead, I love to hear that. And we know that whatever's happening here in June is only going to elevate and be at an even higher level when we get to September, October, November, and then hopefully January and then February for the Packers. I know I just skipped December for some reason, but whatever. You know what
it's
I mean?
Okay. It's okay.
But yeah. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. It's an addition at the wide receiver group. It's again, it's like throwing spaghetti at a wall. Hopefully something sticks. He's had a decent career, but it's been up and down. He's had some really, really amazing games and then has disappeared for 5, 6, 7 games at a time. So we'll see if that connection builds. That's even better, but it's a 1-year rental right now, and hopefully he can help develop Christian Watson into the true number one that they really want him to be. So excited about that. But what I am super excited about, Sarah, I don't know if you saw the starting defense for the first team period. Oh my God. Like, so it was Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, Jaron Reed, Preston Smith, Devondre Campbell, Quay Walker, Rasul Douglas, Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage Jr., Eric Stokes, Jair Alexander. And I was excited to begin with. And then all of a sudden I realized that's not even with their other first round pick, Devontae Wyatt, in there. Like, they're stacked, or TJ Slayton. So how excited are you for the defense this year?
I mean, this is wonderful. I think I knew, obviously, that the Packers were really leveling up on defense, but to see people tweet out that list and all of those names together and know, like, oh, that's who's going to be on the field for the Packers on defense. I'm sleeping good with that lineup tonight. But it's really exciting. I think it's the first time in a while where maybe I feel a bit more confident about the defense than I do the offense. First time in many years. The offense has potential to be great, but there's a lot of room to grow, and they're definitely going to have to make things work, and production's going to look different. So I think we know what to expect on defense. We expect them to play well, where offense is a bit more unpredictable this year. So I'm kind of excited for that switch. It feels good to have something different to look forward to instead of just Rodgers to Devontae for a billion yards every season.
I mean, that wasn't a bad thing, but still. I get what you're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, defense looks nice, but apparently Sammy Watkins, like Rodgers was talking about, was already making plays against that defense. So again, shout out to Matt Schneidman. He's always tweeting great tidbits since he's there and he can actually tweet things. And then we can talk about them on this podcast since we are not there at minicamp. But he tweeted that Watkins had a really nice contested catch over the middle in tight coverage with Jair, and that he got a big applause from the crowd when he made this catch, and that even Jair gave a round of applause. So you know that 23 doesn't throw out praise. Usually he likes to chirp with guys. So it must have been a damn good catch if he was able to make that happen. And again, that probably just further builds the confidence with Aaron Rodgers. So good things all around from Watkins.
Yeah, and I think I saw one that Christian Watson made like a really nice one-handed catch or something along those lines.
But then he dropped it.
Oh, he did drop it? Oh, that's probably a good thing because I didn't read it too quick. I read too quickly, apparently. I was going to quote tweet Andy and just write Super Bowl on top of it.
Oh, no, I don't know if he actually dropped it. I'm just saying because everybody's like, he can't catch anything. He sucks. Like, shut up. It's June. I say this every year. I have this speech either in May or June when people start overreacting about stupid things way ahead of time. I'm always like, it's May, it's June, it's July, fill in the blank. It doesn't matter right now.
Sarah, hold on, we need something to freak out about.
No, find one of those stupid lists on Twitter. I know there's one circulating right now of head coaches, and look at one of those lists that's literally designed to piss you off and earn your engagement on Twitter so that you comment or you quote tweet about how much you hate or disagree with it. Go find one of those lists and get pissed off about that instead. You don't need to get pissed off about Christian Watson dropping passes. All right, end rant.
Okay, that's good. And yeah, that list is pretty bad. That's a very bad list. It doesn't even have Sean McVay on it. Like top 10 coaches, you don't even have the dude who just won the Super Bowl. Okay, gotcha. Makes sense. So, all right. Well, we asked for questions again this week, and you guys delivered like way over the top this time, which was always awesome. We love the engagement. Thank you for that. But we're unfortunately not going to have time to do all of them, so we picked out some of the ones we found the most interesting, and we'll try to get through as many as we can. Our first one, we're going to start off with Robin Erickson, which has a very interesting hypothetical. You're at a bar and in a situation rapidly heading for a fight, which, you know, Sarah and I always in situations that get us close to fights. Which past or current Packer would you most like to have at your side, A, as a general diffuser kind of guy, or B, as a deterrent against any fisticuffs due to sheer fright factor?
This is such an interesting question, because like you said, rarely have I thought, if I am fist fighting with someone right now, who do I want on my team? But now that I've thought about it for a few minutes, so a kind of a diffuser guy, I think I would go with Clay Matthews. He's definitely got the size, the muscles, the body to kind of like get in between anyone that's fighting and say, hey, back this up, hold somebody off. But he also seems kind of goofy. Like he wouldn't get riled up and then also join the fight, because I feel like that's a thing that could happen too. And then a deterrence due to sheer fright factor. What a question. I know they weren't a Packer for a super long time, but Julius Peppers was on the Packers and he is a bad, bad man. So I think I would want him on my team to deter any fights or anyone messing with me. I feel like he'd push the haters away.
Oh, those are good. And we actually talked a little bit about Randall Cobb being a good diffuser, where he just sit and stare at you with his beautiful eyes and you like everybody would just like, you have a calming like waves coming over them and all of a sudden it'd just be fight over. So I think I'd go with that. And then as far as deterrence, I would say while he wasn't a great left tackle, man, Tony Mandrich was a huge mammoth of a dude. So that would have been a good one, I'd say. All right. Next question we've got from John something, something football question mark. Okay. Now the real question, what food did you have trepidations about trying at first, but now you can't get enough of?
So I love this because we basically answered the opposite of this last week. We talked about a food that we have tried that's been all right, but that we should try again because maybe we want a second opinion kind of thing. So this totally turns out on its head. For me, I would say pickles. I was never a big fan of pickles. You know, if I got like a club sandwich, I would always take them off. A spear came, you know, with a sub, I'd give it to somebody else. And then a few months ago, it's got to be 6-8 months ago, so in the last year, I had gone to a sandwich shop and, you know, they gave me the pickle spear and I looked at it and I just said, what if I just ate this? And I did. And I liked it a lot. And now I actually find myself buying the dill pickles at the store.
Okay.
And I'm packing them in my lunch for work. So I don't know what I'm going through that all of a sudden I really like pickles, but that would be my answer.
I think I've got two, because I would say long time ago, before avocado was like a cool thing, I think I had trepidations about trying it. Like, really, I'm gonna try this like green looking like fruit/vegetable thing? Like, no, hard, no. And then all of a sudden you have it and now it's in everything and it's amazing and it's like it almost like a daily occurrence of something that I'm eating. So it's that and hot sauce, and that's kind of a combo, because like with breakfast I'll have egg whites and hot sauce and avocado, and that's just like when you get the good hot sauce, man, that's the stuff. So, but for a long time, I was all out on hot sauce. So next question, Robin Lawrence. In my opinion, Christian Watson will be a superstar because of the Matt LaFleur scheme, finding ways to get him the ball in space. Do you think he can gain Rodgers' trust enough to exploit him with the deep ball, or does it take multiple seasons?
I don't think it takes multiple seasons. I think it takes multiple weeks. I don't think in week one or two we're going to see Aaron Rodgers throw a deep ball to Christian Watson for, you know, 55-yard touchdown or something like that. But I could see after maybe some trust is established, he's got his feet wet a little bit. He's been able to make some plays. He's really starting to excel in that scheme because, like you mentioned, I do think he has all the potential in the world to be a superstar in Matt LaFleur's offense. That then later in the season, maybe week 13, you know, week 12, somewhere in that range, mid to late season, you might see that happen a little more. So I think it could happen this season, but it'll just take some time.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I don't think it's going to be, you know, week one, he's got 150 yards and two touchdowns and just replaces Devontae. No, that's not a realistic thing. But I think what they're going to want to try to involve him in the offense and early on. And so I think they'll scheme up things like they'll do bubble screens for him. Maybe they'll throw him in that Tyler Irvin role where they'll do jet sweeps with him and bring him in motion across as that play threat that all of a sudden, if he does get hit on one of them, like, yeah, he's going to take it to the house. So it'll take some time. And I think year two will definitely be that big jump for him right away. But I think they'll use him effectively in the first season. So next question, Dawn, our good friend Dawn, who's on Hey, We Like Your Pod with, she brought in a pretty good question and we had to discuss it because of her second part of her question. Do you feel that the Packers are disproportionately dissed in national media? If so, why do you think this is the case? Can you tell the difference between a molasses and a ginger cookie? Discuss. So, Sarah, you answer the first part, then we need to go into the second part a little bit more in depth.
Okay. So, part one. Do I feel the Packers are disproportionately dissed in the national media? I've actually thought about this, and I think the answer is no. And here's my theory on this. As Packers fans, as people who consume Packers content, we are looking for anything and everything commentary related to the Packers. So I think just being who we are and our interests, we are automatically exposed to so much information, good, bad, ugly about the team and people's opinions about the team. And when you consume yourself in that world, like Don and I know many others have, you feel like everybody else in the world is talking about you. They might be talking highly of you. They could be talking shit about you, no matter what. So I feel like that's what happens with the Packers. We just, you know, everything on my Twitter, I always like retweet things about the Packers. So my timeline is catered to that. And I see more content about it. So I think just because of social media and algorithms, it's in front of your eyes more than you think. And you're just so used to that. And that's why many of us are on Twitter. I mean, I probably wouldn't really even be on Twitter if I didn't do this and like follow the Packers and other sports. And Twitter knows that. So they feed you that content all the time. You know, and I've even like gone and I've Googled other teams like Colts, Patriots. And if you look under that, there's a billion other tweets the same way about those teams. So I feel like every fan, rightfully so, thinks that their team, you know, people are biased against their team or the media hates their team, when really it's just that's the only content we're consuming. You know, I'm not reading content about the Chargers, so I don't really see the media being biased against them because I don't read that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only bias toward against the Packers is Pro Football Talk. But besides that,
that's like an outlier. I never once when I was giving that spiel about algorithms, my little PR spiel about that, never once did I think of Mike Florio. So,
well, we don't consider him like the national media anyway. So he's a Vikings reporter. So that's basically what it is. But yeah, I really agree with you, Sarah. Like, I think the way that Twitter really works, and it's mind-boggling, but Packers fans, all these fans, they all feel like their team is being slighted. A, if they're talked badly about, okay, whatever, sure, you might be getting slighted. But B, they also think they're being talked badly about if they don't think this list or this article or whatever has given them enough credit. Or like, God forbid that somebody writes an article about, you know, I saw something, Bill Huber like wrote an article about the best running back combos in the NFL and whether or not it was Aaron Jones or not. And it's like, click the article and read. And you get people that don't even read the article and say like, oh, you're so stupid. What about Nick Chubb and the other guy and Kareem Hunt? And he's like, dude, if you would have just read the article, you would have seen I said that it's Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Like, so it's like, it's manufacturing the bias, I think, is a bigger thing than the actual bias from.
Yeah. It's all about engagement. And like, I know people say like clicks is, and I think clicks and all that clickbait is a cop-out answer, but that's also the way that social media is designed. You don't tell the whole story in a tweet. You put a teaser out so people will click on that and then read the full content. But if your teaser, you know, is a little controversial, people don't care. That's why Twitter added that thing where it's like, have you read this article before you retweet things?
So I think we've answered that part of it. Now for the fun part, Sarah was today years old when she found out that there was such a thing as molasses cookies. So Dawn says, can you tell the difference between a molasses and a ginger cookie? I can. My sister-in-law makes molasses cookies all the time and they're amazing. Sarah had no idea what a molasses cookie was.
So here's the thing. Here's the skinny. I think I have had molasses cookies now that I've Googled a picture, but I didn't know that that's what it was. But never have I gone to bakery or a cookie shop like Insomnia Cookies or something like that and said, I'd like a molasses cookie. So I need to do that now because I need to compare this. I have had ginger cookies before and I love those. They're very delicious. So I would assume that molasses cookies would be delicious as well. And looking at these pictures, I'm very hungry now, Dawn. So thanks for that. And now I really want a cookie that I can't have. So this is my new quest. Once I find a molasses cookie, I will update the Twitter timeline and let everyone know that I've officially tried it to my knowledge and we'll be good to go.
Good. I think there should be a video of you tasting one.
I got to find one. I would assume they have them at any grocery store, but we'll
see. Yeah, I think you'll be all right. Next question, Christian Simmons. If you were stuck on a desert island and could only have one player from the Packers roster with you to help you get off said island, who would it be and why? Sarah had the perfect answer for this. So, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Christian. That's like my best friend, practically my second brother. Usually he sends in stupid questions about the Bears or Blake Bortles or uniforms. So thanks for sending in a legit question this time. If I was stuck on a desert island and could only have one player from the Packers roster help me off the island, it would be Jaire Alexander because it's Jaire's island. And we all know how that goes. So if I needed help exiting, finding my way home, he'd be there to help. What about you, Steve?
That's a perfect. I can't think of a better one. So let's just move on to the next question. Well, we got one from Jazz to what's up with all the Christian Watson hate? Can you all talk about that tonight? So clearly, you know, he had case of the drops a little bit early on, but I think you've kind of talked about this already. I'm on the same board. It's June. Everybody just needs to calm down. Let the kid play a little bit with Aaron Rodgers, where he's going to have ideal ball placement. He's going to have, you know, him teaching him all sorts of things, how to read routes like he would. So I see the Christian Watson hate out there. We both do. Like it's prevalent, but I'm not worried about it.
No, I don't think this is a tradition. Packers fans like to yell at one receiver all during mini camp and OTAs in the off season. And then it ends up usually working out.
Next question, Tyler. A-Rod gives the best interviews. I really appreciate his dry sense of humor and how he answers questions. Is there a player you really enjoy watching, listening to their interviews? If you could have only one type of candy bar, what would it be?
Yeah, I think Rodgers always gives good interviews. That's been known for years. And I also enjoy listening to him. You know, it sucks for many reasons that Devontae left, but also for the answer to this question, because he was another guy that was just awesome to sit down and listen to what he had to say and just his insights about the game. And also just his leadership style was really cool to kind of get an inside look into that. But I'd say AJ Dillon is kind of my up and coming person for this answer. I don't think he's had as much time in front of, you know, traditional media like the ESPNs, the Athletics, and some of the local beat reporters. He hasn't had as much time in front of them, but he started to, you know, make his way around different Packers blogs. I know he, you know, was on Monday nights with Cheesehead TV, and he has podcasts and he does other things. And he's always really interesting to just listen to. I think he's a funny guy. Obviously he has the whole mayor of Door County bit going right now. And as he takes on a bigger role, I think he'll start to get in front of the traditional media more, and we'll have a lot of interesting things to say. So I'm excited about that. And then if I could only have one type of candy bar, I'd go simple, because if I'm only going to have one for the rest of my life, I need some consistency, something that's going to just be on point every time. And so that would be a Snickers. Can't go wrong with that.
Yep. Definitely agree with you on that one. I'm going to say the player I really enjoy watching is a bit of a cop out, but it's LaFleur. I actually, on some level, I feel like he gives almost as good of pressers as Rodgers does. And he's kind of still got that smart ass like smirk. And like, he's also so good looking that, you know, it just adds to the press conference. So yeah, I'd say LaFleur would be my answer. And then that was kind of him and hawing. And it's easy, I'd say either Snickers or Payday would be my go-to, but I feel like Paydays can get kind of hard. Like the caramel can get kind of hard every once in a while too much. So like that's Snickers is the ideal option, I'd say. All right. And then we had, I believe this is our last one to wrap it up. So Brian Harstad, big fan of the Packaday podcast. Now that Aaron Rodgers is committed to retiring as the Packer, how much longer would you like to see him play? And food question, what food do you think fits at Dusty Evely's personality?
Great and great ending. This is just a perfect question to end on. So to answer the first part of that question, we'll both answer the first part, then we'll dive into the Dusty food analysis. So fair. Aaron Rodgers, he's committed to retiring as Packers, so he says, how much longer would I like to see him play? I'd say 2 to 3 years max. I think that's a realistic window. That is a safe answer. You know, a lot of people think maybe this might be the last year. I'd like, if he has another great season, I'd like to for him to stick around a little bit longer. So I'll go with 2 to 3.
I'm going to say as long as he wants to play. I mean, look at what Tom Brady's doing, man. You can't tell me like, we're going to be better. We're going to be better. Oh, oh my God. this is one of the times you should have seen Sarah's face. Anyway, Sarah, we're talking about football, not Tom Brady in his underwear.
I wasn't saying it like that. Sure. I'm saying I'm just sick of hearing, oh, Tom Brady's 40-something years old. He's a god. He can do all this. I get it. He's awesome. He's the GOAT, but I'm just...
I'm whatever. Sick of it too. I was so pissed when he, as soon as he came back after like 3 weeks of retirement, I remember exactly tweeting out the Jim Carrey gif from Liar Liar, spitting out water and saying, "Oh, come on, you are gone. You're supposed to stay gone." But I could see him. I could see Rodgers being able to pull that kind of thing off as well. Like he'd take care of his body immensely. He's smart about his play. Like he doesn't have too many injuries. So, I mean, if he wants to go 4 or 5 years, and he wants to play for the Packers, yeah, I'm down for it. And then we get to, yeah, to the fun part of the question. What food do you think fits Dusty's personality?
I want you to go first, Steve.
We had a little fun with this beforehand, but I think I decided I'm going to go with Fun Dip, Dusty's favorite snack. Because, you know, it's Halloween themed. That's always goes into, you know, the kids' Halloween bags, and Dusty loves Halloween and spooky stuff. And then, you know, you're really, really enjoying all of the sugary goodness and that, like all of Dusty's good content. But then every once in a while, if you eat too much of it, he's a jackass. So, I mean, normally it just happens to me where he's a dick to me, but, you know, Sarah gets thrown under the bus once in a while.
Yeah. And we had very similar, we were laughing because we kind of had similar thought process with our answer, because I said a pumpkin, you know, again, Halloween spooky fits in with the horror theme that we know Dusty is just in love with. And then everybody like pumpkin flavor season. That's a fan favorite season. People thrive during that time. And that's like Dusty during the Packers season, he thrives because he posts all this content and we all love it. So there you go, Dusty. Happy Halloween.
I'm sure we're going to get a little bit of flack for this one, but actually, no, hey. I take that back. He's probably going to be like, those were great answers, guys. I think
yeah,
you really
he'd be like, it. I thought you were going to say I was the most stuff for you. That's what he'll say.
It was one of the options we discussed.
Yeah, it was, but we do want Dusty to return to the show. So we have to give him a little bit of a break.
I guess. Well, Sarah, that's going to wrap it up. We got through all the questions, went through OTA. So good episode. Guys, thanks as always for listening. If make sure you're following us on Twitter at Packaday Podcast, at Sarah Keller 4, at Dusty Evely, at Steve Peretch. But let's wrap this up here, and then we'll let the people get back to their Wednesdays.
Yeah. So final thoughts, just, you know, been kind of, my eyes have just been open recently, just so much going on in the world and so much, you know, even personally too, that a lot of people are out there fighting silent battles, whether it be with, you know, relationships or their health or just mental health or anything. So just want to let you know that if you are one of those people, that I see you, you're not alone. And hopefully our podcast can be just a slither of joy and hope through any hard times you're going through. So that's it.
Yeah. Actually, that was one of the things I was thinking too, like my DMs are open. If you're struggling, having a hard time, you know, just don't need to talk about football at all. You want to talk about life, I'm definitely around, so feel free to hit me up. But also kind of want to shout out that I'm going to be going on the Hey We Like Your Pod on Thursday with Dawn and Jamie, who does a lot of, she's big on Twitter and does a lot of stuff with mental health, and that's what we're going to talk about, is actually mental health.
Sweet.
And just kind of my experiences with it, the things that I've liked about it so far, like therapy and everything like that. So make sure you tune in for that. I think the episode, it's going to be recorded Thursday night and then drops, I think, Saturday. So keep your eye out. I'm sure I'll put out some retweets. But guys, thanks again for listening. We will be back next week with Dusty, hopefully. And as always, go Pack, go.